Welcome everybody to Worshiping Online with Shalom. It's good to see your faces and to hear your voices and to just trust that we're connecting even when this technology is new for so many of us. It just seems like we're in a period of time right now where all kinds of things are different than what we're accustomed to. But the cool thing is that we are here to worship God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so even though everything else seems up in the air and chaotic, he is not. And so we get to just worship and praise and receive from him as we hear his word and as we join together, even virtually. There's a promise that he's here with us. He's here with each one of us, and he's going to be at work for all of us in this. So let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of this day, the gift of life. We thank you, Lord, for your promise that you are with us in every moment of life. When life seems wonderful and when life seems hard, you are constant in your goodness and in your faithfulness. Lord, we're just wanting to give you thanks and praise. And so we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, come and just minister into each one of our hearts. And even though we are not together right now, form us together as your people by your word and by your spirit so that we can leave them this worship time right now and go out into the world to whatever extent we're able, carrying your light and your love and your peace and your joy. The Lord be lifted up in our praises. And then come minister to us as well. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from the book of Exodus. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.'" But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground." Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, "Raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers." So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. Of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and army he has hurled into the sea. The finest of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters gushed over them, and they sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, smashes the enemy." And our second reading is Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. Here ends the reading.
And our gospel reading is from John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. This is the gospel of our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Scriptures, your word that is living and active, your word which tells us who you are and who we are to you, your word which by your Spirit can create faith in us. Lord, as we're gathered this way today, we ask for your word and your Spirit, that you would make them alive in us, that you would cause your word to be a sword that kills off fear, your word to be a seed that grows up faith, that we would be able to live in these days fully confident in you, able to carry your light and your love and your peace and your hope, and able to reveal your kingdom now, established in Jesus and at him. So all this we pray now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So our Old Testament reading, what I had Swede read for you, is kind of a compilation of verses from chapter 14 and beginning into chapter 15. It's obviously after the people of Israel have left Egypt. And as they were on their way, Pharaoh has changed his mind and has sent an army after them. And so while the people had left, having gone through plagues and hardship and all kinds of things, they've left with incredible provision. You can go back and read all of that story before. But now they're on their way, and they turn around, and they see Pharaoh's army coming after them. But they are actually camped at the shores of the Red Sea. And so it's like they feel trapped. And it's a reasonable place of concern. There is a natural fear that is absolutely reasonable here, except that they didn't get there on their own. They got there because God had miraculously made a way and was leading them. But they look at the Red Sea, and they look at the army, they look at their circumstance, and they are torn up in panic and in fear, and they're wishing for the good old days. Oh, wasn't, you know, weren't there enough graves back in Egypt, you know? And then Moses, it seems, is kind of drawing into their fear. Well, first of all, he says to them, you're not going to need to do anything. Just be still. The Lord is going to fight for you. Let me just look at exactly how it was said in the translation. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Now, let me just say, calm generally helps any situation. Panic never helps anything. But eyes open, realistic assessment of what's going on is a gift that God has given us. We have brains for a reason. We are to use them, but we are to use them as a people of faith. So as they look out at the Red Sea and they look at the army coming after them, it is absolutely reasonable and appropriate for them to say, things don't look good. God, help us here. So Moses tells them, don't be afraid. Stand still, watch the Lord rescue you. And that's exactly what's going to happen, is the Lord is going to rescue them. But standing still is not going to be the answer. Moses has a role to play. The Lord says to him, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff. Raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Simple, right? Do you see that they have a role that they need to play? Moses has to hold out his rod, and the people are going to have to walk. Now, Moses holding out his rod on his own initiative without the Lord's power isn't going to accomplish anything. But they aren't in this situation by themselves. God is with them, and God has a way, and they'll have to take their eyes off of the Red Sea and off of the army and have their eyes and their hearts really rooted in who the Lord is and following him. And they can't just stay there. They're going to have to follow. They have a role to play. But it's a role that they play. It's a role that they take on in faith and in obedience. So they get through the Red Sea, and then the Red Sea covers back over the army. They are completely safe from that army. That army is never going to attack them again. And they sing this wonderful song. I could try singing it for you, but it seems like none of you know the songs that I know. This used to be an old camp song when I was growing up. But they sing this song about how the Lord has triumphed for them. And the Lord is my strength, and he's my song, and he has given me victory. And that's absolutely true. They have the victory because God has given it to them. But had they not cooperated with him, they wouldn't have had the victory. He said, the Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. I praise him. He's my God. Okay. Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. So you would think that after all they had gone through when they were in Egypt with all of the plagues, and then how the Lord has brought deliverance, and now how they have gotten the deliverance and the victory by going through the Red Sea and the Egyptian army being set beside, you would think these would now be people of faith who never doubt again, right? Wrong. Only 3 days later, they get to a place called Marah, and they're in the desert, and the water they find out there is bitter. It's not drinkable. That's what Marah means. It means bitter. And they turn to Moses, and they say, what are we going to drink? And it says they demanded. Not like they asked confidently. It seems like panic is being able to take hold again. But, you know, thirst don't do that to us, right? So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. He showed him a branch. Moses took the branch, threw it in the water. This made the water good to drink. So there's great rejoicing again. Now I just want to hold out to you that branch, it's a piece of wood. It's a foretaste of the cross. that takes, that heals what is poison and restores and makes good. That's what God has done with us in the cross of Christ. So you got a picture of the cross here in that wood. So they leave Mara and they come to a place where there's 12 springs and 70 palm trees. It sounds lovely. I imagine that they're just full of confidence and joy in the Lord again. But then they go, they leave there. That place was called Elim. And they're out in the desert again. And then it says, this is Exodus chapter 16, starting with verse 3. Oh, that we were back in Egypt, they moaned. It would have been better if the Lord had killed us there. At least there we had plenty to eat. But now you brought us into this desert to starve us to death. These great people of faith, right? But I want you to hear what happens so easily as we begin to sing the songs of lack and of disappointment rather than singing the songs of triumph and victory and trust. And I think we need to be really careful, not only with what we are saying and singing to ourselves, but what we are saying and singing and encouraging one another. We can encourage one another to faith and to confidence in God. We can encourage one another into peace, or we can rile one another up in fear. And we can fill our minds with the things that bring us peace and hope and perspective, or we could fill our minds with an endless litany of how bad and how scary and how dangerous it is. The Lord does end up, he provides the manna for them. He provides quail for them. You know what? They get their provision. They get the manna. And they, manna means, what is it? Because that's what they say. It's like, what is this? God gives them provision that sustains them, nourishes them. It's not the provision they were accustomed to. It's not necessarily what they wanted, but it was what they needed. And he gives them some guidelines about it. Collect only enough for the day. Yeah. But some people go ahead and try to collect up more, and it rots, it spoils, and it causes quite a stink. But he does have even a miracle provided in that. In the preparation for the Sabbath, they can collect up double enough so that they'll be able to just rest and they'll be able to remember God is their source. Well, anyway, they continue journeying. Again, they have miraculous provision of food. They've had miraculous deliverance. They've had water that was spoiled now that has become drinkable. They know a song to sing about how good God is. But as they go along, they get to Rephidim. This is Exodus 17. And there was no water to be found there. So once more, the people grumbled and complained to Moses. And tormented by thirst, they continued to complain. Why did you ever take us out of Egypt? Why did you bring us here? We, our children, our livestock will all die. And they're beginning to think that the good old days were so much better. They were so much happier. Do you remember what it was like for them when they were in Egypt? They had to kill their baby boys. It says they were under hard labor. They weren't given enough materials to work with, and yet the production that was demanded of them, and if they didn't produce, then they were brutally beaten. It wasn't the good old days. They had cried out to the Lord for deliverance. The Lord had raised up Moses. God was delivering them. He was providing for them. But they had to receive it in faith. And I just want to remind you that in that way, nothing's changed. We, as God's people, are promised his protection and his provision. We are not promised that there won't be hardship. We aren't promised that we'll always see everything the way we want it to be. We aren't promised that there aren't dangers. We are promised that God's going to be with us. God's going to provide for us. Now we can sing the songs of deliverance and praise about who God is. We can remind ourselves of that. Or we can look around and say, oh, the world is scary. Where is God? Maybe God isn't strong enough. Maybe it's gone too far. But the songs you sing, the things you meditate on, will make a huge difference in what you see and how you make it through the times of testing and challenge. So that's what we hear about in our psalm, I think, that we are invited to sing a new song to the Lord, to sing joyfully, to come to Him with thanksgiving, maybe coming to Him with thanksgiving instead of grumbling. We are invited to make our needs known. But we're invited to come to our Heavenly Father in confidence and in trust that He hears us and He's not holding back from us. And you see, we also have the opportunity to be witnesses to who our God is. But what we witness will depend on what songs we're singing and what we're letting out of our mouth or out of our posture by what we're meditating on. So I want to encourage you, sing to the Lord. Go back and sing the songs of faith and of praise. And go back and remember the things that God has done. Look at it in Scripture. Look at it in other people's lives that you know. Look at it in your own life and give thanks to Him. He is the God who is above everything. He made it all. It's still all in His hands. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God, and we are the people He watches over. Let that truth sink into you over and over. I don't know what new, but I have to let that sink in over and over throughout the day and into the night. Yeah, around 3 this morning, I was back to reading. Because sometimes that fear creeps back in, and sometimes we've given it an open door, and we have to go back to remembering who God is, who we are to Him. This is His world that He wants to bless, and He'll bless it with and through us. So now I just want to go quickly on to our gospel reading. Jesus is with His disciples. The order of events, you hear it a little differently in John than you do in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in any case, there's a crowd of people who are following Jesus. They have seen and heard about miraculous things He's done. In the Gospel of John, just a few chapters back, or maybe a chapter back, He has healed a man's son who was dying of fever. He has healed a lame man. He's told a woman at the well everything about her, and yet He's told her with grace and invited her to come and know the living God. So anyway, now there's a crowd that's following, and Jesus has been teaching them, and He's been healing them. And then they're out in the wilderness, and Jesus says to Philip, "So, where can we buy bread to feed all of these people?" And Philip's like, "I think you're nuts." That would be my translation of that. He says, it would take 200 days' wages to even give everybody just a tiny little bit. You know, send them away is what it says in the other gospel versions of this story. Let them go find their own food. And Jesus says, "No, you give them something to eat." And then Andrew says, "Well, there's a kid here that's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I suppose we can use that." Now, I don't know. Maybe he is saying it with great confidence, or maybe he's like, "See, Jesus, there's not enough." But what does Jesus do? He takes the bread and the fish, and He looks up and gives thanks to God for what he's got. And he gives it to the disciples to hand out. And he says, take care of the needs around you. And they don't run out of bread or fish. What was not enough, when looked at with thanksgiving to God, allowing God to bless the provision that's there, becomes more than enough. They are able to feed people who were hungry for the word and for the presence of God. Not only to feed them, there's 12 baskets left over. Now, Jesus does say, collect up the leftovers. See, God is generous. He's not stingy. But he's also not wasteful. And I just want to hold out to you that we are going to be looking around for a while and seeing lots of needs. Instead of concentrating on the need, lift up your eyes to God. Ask him what he wants to do. And look at the provision that's available. And be thankful. And ask him how he wants the provision used. And sing the songs. Tell the stories of how good, how faithful, how present God is. God doesn't say that we won't go through hard times. In fact, we're going to walk through dark valleys with shadows of death. But the Lord is going to be with us. Now let me tell you about the Lord. He is Yahweh. And we also know him as Jesus, the one who's been given the name over every other name. The name at which everything in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow. He is the name that is above coronavirus or global pandemic. He is the name that is above financial collapse. He is the name above fear. Call out his name. Remember his name. Focus on him and let the faith rise up. Choose his peace instead of the enemy's fear. Watch what God will do. You'll have a part in it, but it'll be his provision and his power and his glory. Amen. Says over 500 from the COVID-19, that those who are ill, that they would be healed, that those years we have hosted various seminars and other events. We have received enough
an infection.
And we pray for those who are your peace to reign. We pray for people to know your presence with stronger, bolder, more. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. Mm-hmm.